and I got that thing plugged in the right place and the thing up just a little notch. You look really tired back there too. Yeah, but you just, it really would be fun sometime if we get another chance. That now, Tim Shanks and I are talking about getting together. Tim Shanks said that he did a music series, and he said to me, "Boy, I never used these verses." Did for 14 weeks on music. He really wants to know, and it was exciting to have those guys there. Romans 11, is that what I said? I hope I don't do a Oddfellows sermon today, which is where I fall asleep during the sermon, what I did one time. Kind of sitting on the accordion playing away and had him turn to something. And okay, where are we at? You know, I have fallen asleep a couple times during singing there. Back when we were doing Regency, then we'd go to downtown and hand out the tracts and sing. Then we'd go to the cookie tree and we'd eat. Then we'd go to the Oddfellows. I was in the pre-MSG aware years. And that cookie tree must have poisoned their food, because I get to Oddfellows and I'm just, you see me, eyes are watering and I'm yawning and the one we're singing and I'm just, oh, you know. They should put me in the Oddfellows in some of those days, so it's just tiring. And I want to get that stuff up on the website today and I just want to get rolling, but I need a nap somewhere in there. Romans chapter 11, verse 30. And for a title for this thing, because as we don't ever get a tapes labeled and everything, I don't do it right or whatever, and I forget what they are. And you'll understand the title, because this is another one of those greater commission messages, I suppose. I'm going to call this Beyond Born Again. Maybe we should say Beyond Being Born Again. Beyond Being Born Again. BBBA, you know, the triple B sermon or something. Yes, you are tired. Yes, you are kind of giddy, aren't you? Romans chapter 11, verse 30. Right before 31, right? Yep. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. And to help keep me awake, let me ask you some questions here this morning. Who are we talking about there through their unbelief? Who is that? This is Romans chapter 11. This is Jews. So that whole chapter explains to people the whole situation in God's eyes, his real chosen people. If you hear anybody in Christianity say that we are God's chosen people, they're nuts. You know, it was because of his chosen people's rejection of God as their Father and Jesus Christ as the Messiah, we became God's people. And what he's talking about here is, for in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. That's a blessing, amen. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Oh, this is also Marilyn and Maya's. Marilyn and mine. This is our last couple days of sanity for who knows how long. With Mike and Beck, they left this morning. They left in some snow. And the funny thing is because those U-Haul trailers have the speed limit 45 on the trailer, I know Mike's going to go 45. And they've got some snow to go through in Idaho. So we figure they'll be here around Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. But they're hoping to be here tomorrow. Although they could just drive all the way through, too. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway, so we got to come up with another pew, or else force them up front, or some of you are going to lose your pew. So maybe we should start doing pew rent. You know, you can claim your pew if you pay for it, type of a thing. You know, $10 for that pew right there. They used to do that. You know, did you know that? Old America, they didn't take offerings; they just had pew rent. You had to pay for your pew. Pew rent. Ever seen those churches with little square boxes and all that stuff? They had instead of the long pews like that. First time they came over here, they had all the men over here and the ladies over here and the children over here. I'm impressed with that. I've always told you that before. Go over here and preach to these guys, and the women will sit there and go thinking, what can they do to help their husband do what they need to do? I thought that was the neatest thing. But then they got those square boxes, and yeah, you rented your own pew. Yeah. I suppose pew rent goes up every once in a while, you know. LD goes, "Pastor, we need to raise that pew rent again." So we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Get back on the subject here. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. There we go. Let's look at 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But now we're looking at where it says, which in time past were not a people. That kind of narrows that thing down a little bit. But are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We had not obtained mercy, but now we have. And that whole thing about being a chosen is not what God's chosen. I don't want to get into that element of the sermon this morning. The Calvinists grab onto that stuff, and they're just wrong. God didn't choose us; we chose Him. He knocked on our doors, amen. Because He knocked on His people's doors, they wouldn't hear Him. So He sends His guys, Paul, to come knock on our doors, and Jesus knocking on our doors, and we let Him in. He didn't choose us; He's chosen everybody. They just won't accept it. So, but what I want you to see there is where it says, "In times past, we're not a people." That takes us back to Romans chapter 11 again, which is where we started off this thing. We need to realize that there was a time where we were lost. And not only were we lost, God did not even consider us a people. And that's Romans chapter 10. Look up there at verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. That's us. And by a foolish nation, I will anger you. That's the Gentiles. That's what we were. Isn't that amazing? And if anybody ever says to you that God loves everybody, you've heard me say this, I'll say it again, just so you see some references for it. God loved everybody. He gave everybody the opportunity to receive His love. So yes, the love was there, but if they rejected him, then they're gone. And before they accept him, they're not even considered a people. An unsaved person is not a people. It's a dog. There's stuff about that there. But so there was a time when we were dogs. You know, on this trip down there, we pull into McDonald's at Hood River. And I start this thing off really well. Al's got a dog in his dog with one of those. What kind of dog was it? A what? A mutt? Well, it was a big mutt. And I walk up to this little dog. I start off this conference really well. I walk up to this little dog, and I kind of pet him on the nose with my hands, and kind of go. Then I go boo like that, just to tease the dog. And this dog just goes unglued. Whoa. Okay. You know, just teasing your dog. Relax. I'm sorry. And instantly I thought of what it's like in these days out there with these dogs, that you can't walk up to somebody and just kind of pal with them and then kind of tease them a little bit or give them some scriptural stuff. They just go right back at you. Man, I sound like Ken McDonald this morning, don't I? You know? So there was my sermon for the conference, how to handle dogs. Man, be nice to them because they're liable to, you know, any dog you've got, I don't care how nice your dog is, that dog has the potential to just to tear your face off. You know? Boy, I'm glad we're not a dog anymore. I don't know why we tear other people's faces off, but we're not supposed to do that. We're not a dog anymore. That was a quick lesson for me to learn. Boy, you never seen me move so quick. How you do that? Just instantly back. Never liked me the rest of the week. And dogs don't forget, do they? I could have fed that guy biscuits and whatever. I walked up to the car window when I went to leave. See if he kind of forgot about me. And he's in, you know how dogs in these windows are, they're kind of looking at you like that. So I kind of put my face up there to see if he... So I guess that dog remembers me forever. Terrible thing. Yeah, smart dog, yeah. So what we see here is we see our past is just awful in God's eyes. Boy, I'll tell you. Let's go here to Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, dogs and me just don't click, I guess. I suppose the ghost of Hershey was in the car, just kind of reminding this dog, hey, I know who this guy is. You know, maybe that dog was Hershey reincarnated. Maybe that's what God doesn't reincarnate people, but maybe he reincarnates dogs. I don't know. Always once a dog, always a dog, you know. Aren't you glad that's not true for us? I'm not saying for dogs, it's just, you know. Some of you sweet folks will be beauty come back, you know, so that's not true. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. An unsaved person is not just told he's unsaved, he is dead in trespasses and sins. They're attached, amen? Wherein time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's where we were at one time before we were saved. In times past. And I hope this morning you can say, in times past, that's the way you were. Because if that's the way we are today, I'm not one to question one's salvation, but you ought to look into that. You know, but that's not what I'm looking for this morning. I'm going to show you something here in a minute. Go off now to chapter 5 of Ephesians. Bible's pretty clear about a lost person and a saved person. If you say you believe that Bible to be the Word of God, then boy, you need to make sure that you get this thing figured out and you are settled with your salvation. And it's got to be based on the Scriptures, not what you did as a little kid, not what somebody else did with you, not what some pastor told you, not what you think, not that vanity of mind opinion, but what saith the Scripture, because hell is forever. You get out of that hell, you go right in the lake of fire, I don't think that's going to make a whole lot of difference. You know, you put your hand in a fire, you put your hand on a burner that's 150 degrees, you put your hand on a burner that's 500 degrees, and you put your hand on a burner that's 1,000 degrees, I don't think you're going to notice the difference myself. 150, that's still hot, still burns. First degree burn, second degree burn, third degree burn, hey. Me, pain is all third degree, or first degree. What's the worst one is third degree, I think. But I don't understand that one. Is that what it is? Because you're down to the third layer of skin then? Oh. I'm 54 years old. I'm wondering about that thing. Because you would think the first degree burn would be the worst one. But it's not. It's the way around. It's like fiction and nonfiction. Not true should be nonfiction. True should be fiction. Fiction is not true. So confusing life is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Not even light in the world. Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See, is a worm children of light? See? That's interesting this morning. We're not a worm. We are the light in the Lord. We're to walk as light, children of light. Not as a worm. An unsaved person walks as a worm. Anyway, get off of that. Okay, well. But I want you to see here this morning, boy, before you, we were saved, we were awful, weren't we? I was probably a pretty good guy. No. We were in darkness. We were the worm. We were lost. We were a dog. We were not even a people. Boy, I tell you, that's an awful place to be. Now, let's go to John chapter 3. Now, this is an interesting thing here because we're going back to the Old Testament. Right? You know, I mean, Jesus is here, so it's not really the Old Testament, but it really isn't. Oh, Old Testament, I'll get this down one of these years to the left. Is the Old Testament, and we know the New Testament, but we've got that gospel thing right in the middle, which is still Jesus, who is not the Old Testament, because now he's come down, but hasn't died yet, so the new thing hasn't started yet, right? Remember how we do this? How we do this? Over here? We had a few people laughing at that one on this weekend. So I knew it was our secret handshake. How you doing? Or that one. But so if that's the case about this gospel thing, You know, John chapter 3 is very interesting. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born of water, that's the womb. Born of the Spirit, that's the spiritual birth. That's interesting that he would say such in there, because nobody else gets born again. And yet you hear the phrase, born again, everywhere. Go to Romans chapter 7. When I first got saved, I didn't even know much. The term born again was kind of associated with those weird people out there that need to be born again. Well, in fact, long time ago, back in the Presbyterian church, we had some kids come in, kind of a youth group, and they were telling people about, I'm not sure what they were telling us, but it had something to do with this new experience thing. And it didn't click with us. Remember that at all? It didn't click. It didn't make sense. Remember that? Really? Just didn't know. What are they talking about? And it was almost like it wasn't God's time yet. It is a weird thing. Because I wouldn't be surprised if they might have been talking about this a little bit. Then again, they might have been into some of this new stuff, too, that was way back. That would have been in the 70s, I suppose, when you were in Redwood Falls and all that. But you hear this born again thing now all the time. I've said it. The Bible says you must be born again. But yet, we're looking at this thing with Paul. Amen? Well, before we go any further, you must be born again, okay? I'm not going to discount the fact that we need to be born again, because that's what Jesus said. But we're following Paul's teachings, yes, but Paul followed Jesus. So I'm not going to say, oh, now we can't even be born again? We don't use that phrase any again? Well, I know about the phrase. I know Romans chapter 7. Where am I going to go in Romans chapter 7? About being born again type of a thing. Where are we going to go there? See if you're getting anything here out of these lips, of these aged, crusty lips. Where are we going to go in Romans chapter 7, talking about we need to be born again? Doesn't say that. There's a reason for it, though. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. For I was alive without the law once. Amen? But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. This is Paul now. We're all right now. We're Paul. And Paul says, yeah, go upstairs because it's cold downstairs. You're fine. You know, no big deal. I just don't have the heat going on downstairs. I got nothing going on downstairs. Okay? Romans 7:9. That is a big verse. You got your little kids. You got your little bitty kids. You got your older kids. I don't know. When the commandment comes, if you'll know something's not right, you just died. And if you just died, you must be born again. So that fits beautifully. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. I guess I should be louder. No? Okay. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. This goes hand in hand with 7:9. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Okay, but I'll tell you what, when the law shows up and it clicks, all of a sudden, there's transgression. And the moment you transgress, that actually gets accounted for, you're history. Suddenly become an enemy with God. Enmity of God. Enmity with God, it says. We're no longer in His crib, amen? That's a bad place to be. Well, let's go here to, what should we do here? Let's go to Romans chapter 5. We'll just go back a chapter. We'll go to that one first here. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You know, now I'm just thinking, you know what that verse, you know who that verse destroys right there? That verse destroys the teachings and the ministry of John MacArthur. Remember what I said about him? That all was, we're just saved because of his death? Look at verse 9. Man, I tell you, this is good. Much more than being now justified by his blood, he discounts the blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, true. But look at, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See? That's an amazing thing. But what I want us to see here this morning is we looked at what the scriptures say about our past. Our past was awful. We're not even part of God. Now before our past, we weren't even held accountable for anything. But there came a time in our grown up years that we became accountable. We died. We're separated from God. Told it. We're just out of the picture. That's why I do believe that many young people are just downright miserable. They were probably brought up with God a little bit or whatever. As much as we spoil our little bitty ones, there comes a point where they die and they're miserable. But because we teach them and we preach at them and stuff, they tend to go along with the program, but they're still dead. And kids, they can be so prideful, just like us adults, that they don't want to admit that because that would shame and embarrass their parents. Because, well, I taught them to be saved. Well, I know you taught them to be saved, and that's a mark that we're supposed to do. But there comes a time in the life where it becomes real. They have to realize that they're dead and accept the fact that they're dead. And even though we're learning what we're learning, they're dead. And there comes a time, according to Jesus, they must be born again. Well, we've heard that. But the phrase I should call this thing is much more beyond born again. That's what I'll put the official title is, much more beyond born again. Because he's talking about there about being reconciled, right? Reconciled to God. Reconciled to God. Didn't bring it with me. That's typical. Being reconciled, being brought back. You ever had a good fight with your wife and you get reconciled? You reconcile the differences. Get back together. You're first born, you're a brand new little kid, you're born in water, of water, and then you find out that you died when the commandment came and you're lost, you're separated from God, you need to get born again. But beyond that, Paul doesn't even tell us about being born again. He calls it being reconciled. He puts us back where we were when this whole thing started. Where was that? Way back to here, where there's no transgression, there's no law. No law, there's no transgression. Right? And doesn't he say something about being like little children again? He puts us right back in the childlike state where we started. So we're reconciled. Well, yes, we're born again because Jesus says we need to be born again. And I'm not discounting the phrase born again, but you don't hear it anymore. It's not in there anymore. What Paul talks about is being reconciled. If somebody says to you, yes, I've been born again, well, I'm glad to hear that. Does that mean you've been reconciled back to God? What are you talking about? This is what Paul's talking about. I'll show you some more verses, then we'll go home and I'll go to bed. Probably won't, really, you know. Let's go here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Part of my concern here is I'm hearing people all over different denominations. Everybody's talking the same terminology anymore. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's born again. And if you've been baptized in the Lutheran Church, you've been born again. That's how they describe it. And it goes back to John chapter 3 where it says, yes, I was born of water, which made it a spiritual birth. The water baptism. Because the pastor gets up there and he asks God's word to bless the water thing and the baptism, and that's why they say you're born of water and spirit. And just before that, he's talking about the womb. And y'all ladies know that, some of us guys know that there's a big explosion of water, amen, before this whole process takes place. You were born of water. You know? So there's terminology things mixing people up. I don't hear anybody talking about being reconciled with God. You know, I don't think a whole lot of people really want to admit that they're lost. They probably are willing to admit that they need Jesus Christ to get to heaven, but they don't consider themselves lost. dead. Dead in sins. Dead in their trespasses. They died. Somewhere along the line, they died when they were 8, 9, 10, 12, maybe 20. I mean, who knows? God knows, and you know when God got a hold of your heart and said, hey, listen, boy, you have died. Well, then you need to be born again. You do need to be born again, but what that's doing is that's making you being reconciled right back to where you started with God. And that's the best place to be, where none of that sin is ever imputed again. Do you hold your little kids accountable for their whole life because of some of the dumb things they've done when they're little? No, you wait till they get older. Then you never forgive them. You know? All the dumb things we've done as little kids and teenagers and stuff. It makes it pretty hard to get all over your kids without smiling. I got a spanker for that, but when we're done, I'll tell you when I did that. Now, that doesn't work. That's not a way to go about doing that sort of thing. We can't laugh about stuff that we did and then punish our kids for doing it. Shouldn't, anyway. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, where he says here, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Amen? Isn't that neat? Yes, we were way over here at the beginning as little kids, and we died, and we got saved, we got born again, and go to Ephesians for that great description, because it's called trusting in the Lord. And really what he's doing is he's reconciling us, but he's doing it by Jesus Christ. So yeah, you need Jesus Christ to be reconciled. And it's better yet, he says, "And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." Well, there's a deity verse right there. "Not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." You know what message we have for people? Yeah, they need to be born again. But the message, the ministry, is a ministry of reconciliation. People need to understand something. They need to understand that at one time they weren't being held accountable. All of a sudden they were, and they were separated from God. And they need to get reconciled back to God. They can do it by Jesus Christ. The only way they can do it is by Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, the life. And when they do that, they're being born again. They're right back to that brand new little baby stage. This is so good this morning. And then once you get back to that you can see you're spitting the sun. I don't like that. And you get that baby stage, then you got to grow all over again. And then you go through this infant stage as a Christian. We'll get those masks that you're wearing, you know. Then you got to be a teenage Christian. Those are rough Christian years. You know, you think you know your Bible really well. In fact, so many people out there think that they know their Bible so well, they've even rewritten it. Your teenagers ever restated what you told them? Teenage Christians do the same thing. Then you get to be a young adult Christian. Then you get to be a middle-aged Christian. Then you get to be an older Christian. And you're growing up. See that growth pattern that takes place? Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing. And that's because we were reconciled back to being a baby. I gotta close those curtains. Now, I didn't realize I spit as much as I do. Wow. Let's go to verse 20. Oh, we did. Let's read it again. "Now then, we are ambassadors." What are we ambassadating? We're ambassadoring. Ambassadors. We're ambassadoring. The people need to be reconciled back to being a baby. When there's no law. So yeah, you're being born again in the process. You see that? Isn't that neat? You picture that? Okay, let's go here to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I don't want to embarrass Mim or anything, but the little kids up there kind of crying, sort of, kind of needs to be patted. What do we as brand new Christians sometimes need? We just whine and cry to the Lord, "Lord, please pat me on the back. See if you can't calm me down a little bit, Lord." And he pats you on the back all the time. We keep whining and crying. baby Christian, right? You ever been a baby Christian? Yeah, I don't want to admit. Yeah. You know, and pretty soon they grow up. They do, man, they will. 30, 40. Not sure when that takes place. Don't ask any of the other ladies around here when the men grow up or anything. But you ladies got to grow too, amen? Yeah, you do. Oh, this is wild stuff. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, there it is, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See, remember that little stage right here where we died? Romans 7, 9. We are suddenly far off from God. Suddenly far off from God. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Look at verse 16. Well, we'll also read 2:14, 15. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition among between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. God had to do some work to make it so he could reconcile us. He didn't just say it. Something had to be done. The law of sin had to be dealt with. You know, you make a law, you can't just cancel it. Somebody had to pay for that thing. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Isn't that a marvelous thing there? Let's go here to James chapter 4 of all places. Now when you hear a little kid crying like that, you're just going to think, yeah, Christians do that all the time. See, that's just... See, you were a good example this morning, Mim. See? Can you even hear me up there? Oh, does she? Uh-oh. James chapter 4, verse 8. James, what are you doing going to James? Well, let's just take a couple seconds here and let's look at how we can misapply something here. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Want to draw nigh to God? See, you get back into this thing, you're born in water there, water, and then you kind of a couple years there, or whatever the thing is, as far as when God, when you die, then you get reconciled. Now, when you find out your debt, you know what the tendency to do is? Try to clean your life up. Let's clean up my life. I'll start obeying my parents better. I'll start doing better. I'll read my Bible more. I'll start doing the right things. I'll quit swearing, quit cussing, quit blowing my temper, all this kind of stuff. And yet, it says right here, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. If I get myself closer to God, I'll get all cleaned up and I'll get closer to God. But that isn't how we get closer to God. We can only get closer to God with our trust in Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ, we get reconciled back to here. That's the kind of drawing nigh we need to have. Let's go to John chapter 14. See, James is what? It's that dispensational book. You can't pull stuff out of there. I mean, it makes sense. You need to draw nigh to God. That's applicable. But we just have to realize what Paul taught. How do we draw nigh to God? Yeah, we need to get cleaned up, no doubt about it. But who cleans us up? Right? You know? I mean, yeah, skip it. John 14. Now there's going to come a day when people are going to have to get drawn nigh to God. They're going to have to clean up. They're going to have to make sure they do the right walk and talk and all that stuff, and that'll bring them closer to God. But boy, we live in the greatest time. We don't even have to take our own bath. We just have to be willing to get clean, and He'll come in and He'll clean you. And He'll put you right back to where He started, and then He'll bring you up if we stay in that Bible. We're looking at John chapter 14. We're looking at verse 23, I think it is. This is my favorite question. Judas, 22, Judas had said unto him, not Iscariot, because it wasn't Judas Iscariot that asked the question there, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Marvelous question there. Jesus answered, said unto him, if man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You can't get nigher than that. Well, there it is, Pastor. It says right there, keep his word. And you know what I said about that? You can find out what God doesn't mean when you look up a different Bible. New Bibles say the word obey there. You can't obey everything. You can't do it right. Because if you can obey to get him to abode, you can quit obeying and he'll quit aboding. And we know that that's not true. So that has to be the same thing in Philadelphian church. You're keeping his words? Right there. If he's going to preserve that inspired word of God, somebody's got to keep it. I guess I'll go this way. Somebody's got to keep it. You're being born again, being reconciled back to God. He's allowed you the greatest ministry in the world, and that's to keep this Bible for your kids and anybody else interested, your grandkids, your neighbors, whatever, anybody else interested. God has used you to keep his words, and if you have his word, isn't that what that says? If you have those words, you keep them, they're available. That's how God makes abode with you. If anybody out there wants to have God abode with them and them abode with God, when they find out that when they're a little bitty and all of a sudden they're dead, they find out that they need to have, the only way they're going to find out that God's going to come back to them is through his words, keeping his words. That tells me again how important it is for this King James Bible. Because if you haven't got his words, if we haven't kept his words, then it looks to me like he can't reconcile you. Because it's not the Jesus that's going to reconcile you. Is the spirit of Antichrist going to reconcile you back to God? Hardly. Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, the devil says he's going to take the word out of their heart lest they be saved. So if those words that make it so God can abode in us, those must be the words that the devil's taken out lest they be saved. Boy, this is an amazing thing here this morning. Go to Romans chapter 10. And then, believe it or not, we'll be done. Okay. I'll just do it one more time. You're born of water. You're getting away with murder. Amen. They don't know any different. So comes a time they die. And I know you've considered that too. You're going to die, kid. You know, and that's not the kind of dying we're talking about. We're talking spiritually here. And we learn from Paul that really the ministry that we have is a ministry of reconciliation. Born again is what Jesus called it. But Paul, we are ambassadors to the ministry of reconciliation. That will reconcile people back to God. Puts us nigh to God. And we have to have those words to take place. And Jesus Christ will be the one to do it because of his blood. Oh man, it's a marvelous thing. Then we're going to get back to being a little baby again. Then we're going to go through all those crummy stages of being a Christian. You know, you can be 45, you can be 80 years old and be a teenager again. Just get saved. There's some people out there that are 70, 80, and 90 years old. They just get saved. They're just like a little kid. And that's all they can handle. But if you've been in that Bible for 30, 40, 50 years, you ought to be able to take on some big chunks of meat, boy. You ought to be able to handle some tough stuff. That thing happens there. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it? See what I mean by being beyond born again? Much more beyond born again. Just one more neat little thing, though. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. We're talking about being nigh to the Lord. Amen. Isn't that what reconciliation makes us do? It brings us nigh unto God, brings us closer to God again. Well, Psalm 138, too, talks about how high is the Bible. The Bible is even above God's name. Isn't that neat? I look at this verse right here, Romans 10:8. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." What do we preach? "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." See, somebody who's in this stage here where they died, if they were to physically die during that stage, they're going to be turned back, I believe, turned back to a worm and go to hell, and then come out of hell, go through the white stone judgment, find out that their works, as good as they are, had sin attached to them, and they're going to go off to the lake of fire forever. Because you're separated from God. So we can get closer to God by being reconciliated by His Son. But this tells me that the Word, we get reconciled by the Word. You know, you got people that are in this stage of spiritually dead. They can't get anything out of this Bible, can they? They just won't get anything out of this Bible. And you try so hard to tell somebody something. You ever try to tell a baby something? You just don't get anywhere. You ever try to tell somebody that's just rebelling against everything? They're dead in your family as such. They don't get anything out of this Bible. When we get reconciled back to God, we get reconciled back to His what? His Word. That's why when somebody gets saved, truly gets saved, all of a sudden they get something out of Jeremiah chapter 23. I never saw that before. All of a sudden they start to realize the rightly divine thing. Well, that's starting to make sense to me. Is it because your pastor is such a great teacher? No, that's a definite. It's because the Holy Spirit, you're reconciled right back to your book. So being reconciled back to God reconciles you back to the Bible. So when that famous radio ministry out there that's been on the radio for umpteen years, Back to the Bible, that's a shame. Because the Bible they take them back to isn't the Bible. Devil's sneaky. If he can get that Bible away from that Back to the Bible crowd, he took the Word out of their hearts, and they still don't get saved. That was a great radio program. The Daily Bread. Used to be a great devotional. Now the bread they're talking about is the world's bread. It's not King James anymore. It's amazing what's going on. Under the subtle disguise of being born again, they're not really being born again. Using the phrase born again, they're not really being reconciled at all. They're being deceived. So what's the point of this message this morning? Was it just a time killer? No, I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks. Born again. With all the stuff we've learned about Paul's greater commission, I'm all for being born again. But we need to realize, we need to be able to teach people that we're not only just being born again. We're not only just being saved. We're not only just being made a Christian. We're actually being reconciled back to God. We're not only being reconciled back to God, we're being reconciled back to where now He can teach us. In order, when we get reconciled back to God, we're being reconciled right back to that book. And all of a sudden, that book means something to you. If you're sitting in this little section right here and you hate that Bible, I understand why. You're separated from God. If you're separated from God, you are also separated from what? That Bible. See? You can sit down with your little kids and you can read a Bible and they'll listen to you. It's a neat thing, little children, all that sort of stuff. But there's going to come a time in their life where they're not going to like this Bible. They're going to hate this Bible. Is it because they really hate God or whatever? No. They're just dead. That's all. You can't go to the cemetery and get mad at those folks. They're dead. Go ahead, get mad at them. dig them out of the grave and spank them or something if you want, but they're dead. You know? They need to be made alive. They need to be reconciled. So you're ambassadors, amen? You're ambassadors to the ministry of reconciliation. So Paul was. And when you understand the ministry of reconciliation, you've gone beyond born again. Don't get me wrong. You need to be born again. But we need to understand is being reconciled. That's what Paul taught. That's what Paul preached. You would think if anybody could have said you must be born again, Paul would have said it in Romans chapter 7, verse 10. That's where I would have put it. You put it right where you want it. I'm not saying that. But Paul's message was a message of reconciliation, getting back to God. Paul never did say you must be born again. But he believed Jesus' teaching, so you need to be born again. Did I lose you on that today? Isn't that wild? Isn't that something? You've been reconciled back to God. And no wonder the devil's mad at you. Here's your track on shuns of salvation. Justification, adoption, regeneration, imputation, sanctification, propitiation, expiation, allodocious, little joke there for you, sorry. Expiation, redemption, dispensation, inspiration, aspiration, perspiration, and reconciliation. You've been saved? Yeah. You've been born again? Yeah. You've been reconciled back to God? Ask him that. Hey, Frank, you've been reconciled back to God? What are you talking about? Well, you know, when the commandment comes and the preaching comes and the book comes and God gets on you and you find out that you're dead, you not just need to be saved, you need to be reconciled back to God. How do you get reconciled back to God? They're built by Jesus Christ. He reconciles you back to where you started. And then they don't hold the law against you. Because there's no law. No transgression. Oh, I never thought of it that way. Man. My NIV Bible doesn't quite put it that way. Oh, speaking of that. You know that NIV Bible has the spirit of Antichrist? Do you think the devil's going to bring you back to God? Well, I wouldn't if I was the devil. Let me show you something about your Bible. Oh, it sounds so easy, doesn't it? It just kind of flows. Well, I don't know. I can't imagine that God ever used me to talk about music to people. And if God got a hold, if Tim Green's sermons, if he listened to his own sermons, then he had to find out if he needed to do something that impossible. Check his music. If he found out that maybe that's something he's got a problem in his life because he had a bunch of those patches of pirate tapes in the back table, that was hard. I know, it's all right. He won't listen to this. Amen. And he needs to realize that maybe that's a problem. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Third night, you love God. Look at what God's done for you. Look at all that stuff. Reconciled you right back to him. We need to give him the praises the way he wants his children to praise him, not the way we would have praised him a couple years ago. And I said that to say this. I'm amazed that God gave me that opportunity. I'd be so thrilled if this guy would... If God would get a hold of this guy and answer that prayer that he preached, he'd have such an influence so many places in this world, in this country. I can't imagine that. Matter of fact, I can't imagine it so much as I doubt it. But the opportunity's there. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing if that he'd get a hold of that thing? And say to somebody, you know, you need to listen to such and such. You've got some stuff on Bible and music. I never heard this stuff before.